Hi, it's Clint and Lyndon.
Welcome to Shove It Up Your Arwen.
As always, our opinions are our own and should be taken with a pinch of salt.
At the sound of the Arwen cow, enjoy the episode.
Hello. Welcome to Shove It Up Your Arwen. I'm one of your hosts, Clinton. You can... Why do I not know my name? You can find me on Instagram at ClintySkyGuy.
And you can suck on my juicy tip. Juicy tip.
Juicy tip.
My juicy tip.
Jizz. Who the fuck tits. Are you?
Jizz on my tits.
Jizz on your tits. Grand. Who are you, Debbie?
You just said it. You just said it. I'm Debbie with the big tits.
Debbie with the
big tits. Well, they're not. They're small, but they're perfectly formed.
Perfectly formed. Out of clay.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I don't know. I'm just some hobo that's just happy to be here.
You're a hobo who gets jizz on their tits.
Yeah. That's how I make my money.
That's how you make your money.
Yeah.
Okay. We're so far, we're 55 seconds in and we don't know who you are.
I'm Lyndon.
Hey.
And you can find me on Instagram at Pilgrim in the Mist.
Fabulous. So today we're doing a review of 2023.
Yes, because it's 2024. Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
We made it, kids. We survived another one.
Oh, and it was so
despite our best efforts.
It was despite our efforts, we made it. I swear. Oh no, I'm not going to say that.
Okay, then don't.
No, I'm not going to because I might get us in trouble. Yeah. Anyway, so before we get onto our
completely
review,
pointless. Thank
it
you.
Was. It was. Thank it was completely pointless. I'll share it with you when we're not on the podcast.
Okay.
Because it really is not something I should say out loud.
Okay. By the way, we are sat on my bed, and my bed has developed a squeak.
That's telling.
So, is it? Is it?
It's, I mean, just it would old. Be if magic happened.
It's old. It's like me. It's creaky and falling apart and bits ache and...
Withered.
Oh, rotten.
Tired.
Full of woodworm.
You're full of woodworm?
I'm full of woodworm.
Stop eating them.
Well, but they're delicious. So if you hear squeaking, it's the bed and we're not fucking because that's gross. Anyway. What were you saying?
Just killed the conversation. So we're going to do a little bit of a review of 2023, how things have changed, what we've been doing, and then that's that. But firstly, magical moments. Do you have one?
Kind of, yeah.
You said you had a few earlier.
Yeah, I do. Well...
You lie. Stop mostly, twizzling your horns.
Mostly. My horns. My little deely boppers.
What's a deely bopper?
It's when, you know, what's the animal?
Well, I'm stuck already. I don't know what a deely bopper is, let alone the animal that has it.
I want to say shrimp and things like that. They have the long...
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Out in front.
Yeah.
It's a deely bopper.
That's a deely bopper.
Yeah. I don't know if that's what they're actually called, but...
I think they're antennae, aren't they?
Well, in this house, we call them deely boppers.
All right, bitch. Fuck yeah. Calm down. Get some jizz on your tits. You'll be all right.
It's like mayonnaise.
Oh, excuse me while I vom on your bed. What's your magical moment? If there's mayonnaise in it, I want you to stop now and not tell anybody.
Cum sigils, but with mayonnaise.
Oh, dear. If you can write your name with it.
Yeah.
Just get on with it.
Do you reckon people do that?
No!
Jizz, and then use their willy to draw the sigil. It's like the ultimate wand, isn't it?
It's like when ladies paint their foof and then do a potato print.
Gross.
I don't actually know any ladies that have done that.
I'm sure there are plenty out there.
But I heard Sarah Millican talk about it once.
Yes.
Mm.
Yes, she did.
Yes.
Anyway, magical moment. Yes. Christmas Eve, 24th. That's Christmas Eve.
Yeah, yes. Well done. Yes,
thank
very
you.
Good.
Yes,
very
thank
good.
You. Yes, well done. Thank you.
We are not worthy.
We went to midnight mass at 7 o'clock in the evening.
Oh, God, yes, I was there.
You were there. Well, you weren't there, but you were at the pub.
I wasn't at midnight mass. You were mad. I was at the pub.
But it was the first time I got to receive the Sacred Blood. The Sacred Blood.
Oh, yes, because they brought it back, haven't they?
Yes, and I hadn't done it before. So that was the first time I got to do it. And it was lovely.
Yeah.
It was lovely. Yes. And I don't know if it was the sherry that it's mixed with. I'm assuming it's sherry. It's very sweet. It's the blood of Christ is very sweet.
Diabetic.
So I'm assuming it's some kind of sherry or sweet wine, whatever. Quite potent. Wasn't expecting it to be as strong as it was.
Mm.
And quite Moorish. Blood of Christ is very Moorish.
Mm.
Who knew?
Mm. It's Ribena.
It's not Ribena.
It's fucking Ribena.
It isn't.
It is.
Because it's alcoholic. And I have yet to discover alcoholic Ribena.
You haven't lived.
I haven't.
I told you we should have done day drinking.
Technically, surely alcoholic Ribena is just wine. It's grape juice. No?
Yeah, I guess so. Well. So I am right. No.
So, that was a very magical moment for me, being able to imbibe the not only the flesh of my Lord and Saviour, but also drink his blood.
Oh, the joy of cannibalism.
Like some kind of flesh-eating, blood-sucking parasite. It was gorgeous.
I love the irony that Catholicism is built upon cannibalism and necromancy. I absolutely adore it.
But it is. Well, cannibalism, not so much.
Yeah, you've just eaten and drank Jesus. Sorry, Jesus.
Jesus. Yeah, but it's divine flesh. Well, I suppose, yeah. It's a hard one to wrap your head around.
It's cannibalism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
by definition.
Where we draw the line of...
You can only eat dead people in spirit.
Well, he's not dead. That's the way they get around.
Okay.
He's not dead. It's living flesh and living blood.
That's still cannibalism.
Is it though?
Yeah, well
if you
chop the arm off and eat it and the person is still alive when you're going through it, I mean, have you watched Hannibal?
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, so there you go. Marvellous. Sweetbreads.
Sweetbreads. But he's alive, so it's fine.
Yes, marvellous.
And he's gone, so it's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Joy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
So you had wine?
I had wine.
Ah.
I think.
Some alcoholic Ribena.
I don't know what it is. No. It was sweet and alcoholic, and it tasted lovely. And I don't know if it was the alcohol or if it was the sweet, sweet presence of Jesus. But I felt it inside.
You did?
It wriggled and tickled and wiggled inside it.
Yes.
Yes.
Perhaps you'll die.
Possibly. One can only hope.
One can only hope.
Yes.
Yes. We did. We tried in 2023.
Sadly, evil doesn't die so easily.
No. No, you don't.
No, I don't.
No, you don't.
No, I do not.
No.
Anyway, what about you? You hag.
Hag, you fucking hag.
Wretched skank.
Not quite. Wow, that was cutting.
You back alley whore.
You wretched skank. Or ratchet skank. What did you say?
Wretched.
Wretched.
Both are applicable.
Well, thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks. It's my face, isn't it?
And the smell.
And the smell. Like I had that abscess removed.
It's the polyps.
It's the polyps. We need to get to the fucking point.
Yes! What's your magical moment?
My magical moment was at work the other day. So I came back to work and I saw that I had a meeting with the woman who's supposed to be doing my apprenticeships brochure for the company, because we're relaunching the apprenticeship scheme at my work, and that is now my job. And so I looked at it and I was just like, just before Christmas, my boss had reviewed this document and gone, hate it, hate it, hate it, hate it, hate it, hate it. Why is this? Why is that? Why is the other? And I was just like, okay, I've not spent 3 months doing this, but okay, fair enough. She was right on every point, and I was just like, I'll have to rework the whole fucking thing. So that was literally on the 18th of December.
Okay.
So I had a meeting with this person and I was just like, I'm really not looking forward to what they're bringing back. So I did a tarot reading on it and I got I can't remember which one it was, Eight of Cups, I think it was. Effectively, it's the one that's like, you need to just turn your back on this and walk away.
Because okay.
There's nothing you can do that's going to make this situation better. And I was just like, okay, that's not a good start. The next one was like the six of staves or something like that. But effectively the meaning was like, to get through, you're going to have to battle through. There's a lot of energy, a lot of people, a lot of...
Oh, is it the one where they're all kind of locking and it's like, are they dancing or are they fighting?
Are they dancing or are they fighting?
I think
that's
the five.
I think it might be for the five, actually. And I got that one. I was just like, right. Okay, that's helpful. Not. And then I got the inverted priestess, which is frustration, loss of hope, giving up, and all this. And I was just like, oh, for fuck's sake. And I was just like, right, give me some context. What do I do about it then? And I drew the death card and I was like, oh, you can't. I was like, so what I've got to do, I've got to burn it and start again. I was like, fuck's sake. This is now due in 2 weeks. I was like, literally, I messaged our mate Liz and just went, I'm going to die. And she's just like, yeah, I don't look good. It's like, you're meant to fucking help. She went, use another tarot deck. And I was like, that never works, because then the tarot deck, you draw the cards and the cards say, you should have listened to the message in the previous deck. That's all it ever says. Mm. I was like, fuck off. So yeah, I got, I did a tarot reading for a project because I thought, I'm not optimistic. And then got the right answer, which was, don't be optimistic, burn it all and start again. I just thought, but it was nice actually, because then I went into the meeting and I was just like, so what are we doing? Treating it as if I started again. So it helped. But yeah, it was quite funny that I was sat there during my card reading and somebody walked past my office and they said they thought I was crying because I was just like, I had my head in my hands and I was just laughing to myself. And there were my tarot cards in front of me and they were like, I thought something really bad had happened. So I just kind of left you to it.
Excellent.
I love it. I was like, no. It's
just, see, that's interesting because I interpret that spread as, so those are the cards you got, as similar to what you said, but more an inverted priestess to me is, because it's all about inner knowledge, isn't it? Inner wisdom, all that kind of thing. So to me, it's about outer. So rather than relying on you, get the opinions of other people to help you build this framework.
Yeah, so that's pretty much what I did. Yeah,
a different tack. Rather than trying to hand it off through, just sidestep it and just...
I've handed off and just given her everything and said, you come back to me.
Yeah.
Come back to me with it, and then we'll go with whatever you bring me. So, so it worked. So, and I think it went wrong in the first place because I got really involved. And I think I just have to manage them rather than do the work. I just have to tell them what work I need doing and then step back. So that's what we pay them for. So, you know, I'm just not used to doing that in this context. So
that's where the death card comes in. You need to transform.
Yeah.
Change your ways.
I need to change from the person who's been the only member of this team to now the actual manager of this team. And but that's been easier this week because my new start has started. So it's all good stuff.
Excellent.
It's marvellous.
I'm so happy for you.
Yeah, thank you very much. So, yeah. So 2023, how is that... spiritual, religious life, or magic, or whatever. How is that? What? You're looking at me as if I'm...
This is just my face.
Grown another arm.
No. It's just my face.
Okay.
I'm just trying to engage with you with what you're saying.
Oh,
it's difficult
off.
Sometimes.
So what was 2023 for you? Religiously.
It was good. 2023 was good. Was it though? Yes. Mostly. It was good. Lots happened in 2023.
Yeah, lots did happen.
I got confirmed into the church. That was lovely. I was able to receive the sacraments properly. That was also lovely. It's been a real good year of deep diving. It's been very tumultuous as well. There's been lots of growth and change and priests moving away and having to resettle into a new format.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse your stomach. It's been good. It hasn't been easy. It's been challenging, but good challenging. Mm. And it's been lovely to receive the sacraments and finally being able to receive both right at the very end of the year. That was lovely. Lovely jabbly. But it's been a year of deep diving into the faith and looking at what's genuine and what's not. It's really difficult because, like, how to phrase this, consecutively put everything in my head into a concise sentence. Right, so I'm aware that this does, in a way, make me a bit of a hypocrite.
You? A hypocrite?
Me?
You?
Me? It's one of my big bugbears. I don't like hypocrisy, even though I do know we all do it in
some
way.
We're all hypocrites.
But it's a big bugbear of mine when people are, and you see them and you hear them, and there are podcasts out there of people that do this where they're like, I'm a Catholic and a witch. I'm a Catholic witch. I fucking hate it. And when people say, you know, just, here's the Lord's Prayer, but if you don't like the Lord's Prayer, just change it. No. The religion is what the religion is. It is what it is. It's set a certain way. You can't call yourself a Catholic and then completely and utterly fuck everything within it. Because it suits you. That's not how religion works. Funnily enough, that's how a spirituality and a spiritual practice might work, and an individual belief system may work, but if you're part of a greater whole, you have to kind of conform to it. However,
I knew a woman called that.
What, a greater whole? Honey, that's me. However, I've been reading the Sacred Bible. It's a great book. I highly recommend everyone read it.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's some really lovely stories in it.
Yes.
And the greatest work of fiction ever told.
Bastard. Fuck you.
No.
Never.
Ever.
Ick. fuck you and your polyps. So I've been trying to strip away, because within the greater concept of Catholicism or the church, there's a lot of bullshit and there's a lot of stuff that's been put in place that's been made canon but used as a tool to conform the masses. So I've been trying to look at and trying to dig in and find the real church, which is really difficult to do because the original format for the church no longer exists. And a lot of the stuff that should be there isn't there and has been cast aside. So it's no longer a part of the institution that I'm a part of, which is really difficult because I'm trying to, I'm trying to be, I suppose, as authentic of a Christian as I can be while still being a Catholic. And unfortunately, the two things don't always marry up. It's difficult. And also separate the bullshit, the whole kind of, you know, them hating gays and that kind of thing.
Yeah, because that's not, that's not the institution or the religion. That's just people.
Well, there isn't, and it's difficult. And you've got the institution saying one thing and the Bible saying another, and
then
the
misuse some people of, saying something else.
Yeah, and the misuse of scripture. and a lot of time when that scripture is no longer applicable, it's been really difficult. So I've been trying to go through and work through all of that. The thing is, things like the church using the Old Testament. It's no longer applicable because Jesus came to fulfill the Old Testament. And there are plenty of times where Jesus says things like, there's the parable of new wine in old wineskins. And he talks about how you can't put new wine in an old wineskin because it will burst, it will break. And the whole point of that is that he's come to change things. He's come to break things up. He didn't come to destroy the Old Testament, he came to fulfill it. So as soon as it's been filled, it's no longer really relevant. You can take beauty and you can take whatever from the old stories.
And it gives context. But beyond
that. But as a rule on how to move forward, Jesus didn't want us to hang on to the past. So the whole new wine in old wineskins is him saying, you know, we've come to shake things up. What I'm bringing you is something new. It's radical.
Yeah.
As soon as he goes, you've got this beautiful formation of the church in Acts of the Apostles, which kind of quickly changes. As things progress, but you've got this beautiful kind of community, them accepting loads of people, the endowment of the Holy Spirit on lots of people, even Gentiles, which the Jewish apostles, because we had Jewish Christians back then, because they were Jews, funny enough.
That's what Jesus was.
He was. But yeah, they were quite shocked when the Holy Spirit came down upon the Gentiles without them having to do anything. And you look at how they had to, you know, you then had to have Gentiles mixing with Jews, and how are they going to work about that? So then they were given like four rules to apply. So it's just for Gentiles, I would be considered a Gentile, not a Jewish.
Yeah.
Most of Christendom would be considered Gentiles now. Jewish Christians don't really exist anymore. They kind of disappeared. So rules are set in place for us to live with them. A lot of the rules and regs that you see in the Bible are designed for a Jewish culture.
Yeah.
But we're not Jewish, so we don't have to conform to that. Which is why when they start applying certain rules and precepts of you can't do this and you can't do that, it's like, okay, but you're also eating shellfish and you're eating pork and things like this. So you can't use some rules and not other rules.
Yeah,
you're not
yeah.
Jewish. You shouldn't have to live this way.
Yeah.
We're Gentiles. The only rules that were set in place were we follow the teachings of Jesus Christ, mandatory, obviously. And then for the Gentiles, it was don't eat meat that's bleeding. Don't eat anything that has been strangled. This falls in line with like the practices of killing animals back then. Well, we don't kill animals that way now, so those really don't apply. Then it was fornication, don't fornicate, and don't eat anything that has been left out as an offering, because that was also a common practice among pagans back then, was that meat and other things would be left out, and then if you were hungry and there was meat left on an altar, you snack on it. You don't eat anything that's been offered to another god. Generally, people don't do that either nowadays. So the only one that's really applicable as a rule is fornication, and fornication is anything that happens outside marriage. And then when you dig a bit deeper and you actually look at what the sacraments are and how they work, there are only two sacraments that don't require a priest. Technically, I don't think any of them do, but if we're going on what the church says, there's only two that don't require a priest. One is baptism. Anyone can baptize as long as you use the Trinitarian formula, and sacrament of marriage takes place between two people. And the prerequisites for that are love and consent. So as long as you undergo a marriage ceremony with love and consent, the sacrament of marriage takes place. Okay. So, so a priest is not necessary for the sacrament of marriage to take place. So as far as I'm concerned, and like fornication doesn't just apply to like homosexuals, and that's the main thing why homosexuality isn't looked at favourably within the church, is because any sex between two men, it's not taking place within a union of marriage. But then that also applies to heterosexual people.
Yeah, and the point was the union of marriage was to create family, was to then have children, was to do that thing.
But it was put in place with a Jewish viewpoint.
Yeah.
And it was meant to apply to like the other cultures this would spread to, where viewpoints like that weren't necessary. So like Romans and Greeks and things like that, where you could quite happily have a wife but also have a male lover or two.
I remember hearing an interesting conversation between some bloke in America and a student who this guy was arguing against gay marriage, and the student was just like letting him get his piece across, and the chap said, well, the point of marriage is to have children and have a family, and marriage is there to secure the family unit. And the student went, okay, fair enough, no, fine, if that's, yeah, I'm not going to argue the point that loads of divorces have happened, blah blah blah, family's broken, blah 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 blah. He's like, if that's the point of it and it gets reinforced, fine, if that's what we're saying. And the student turned around and said, I don't believe that, but whatever. He said, and the student then asked, have you got children? And he went, yes. Yeah, how old are they? Oh, they've grown up and moved out. And he's like, right, brilliant. So you've fulfilled your contract of marriage. And he was like, yes. He said, so when are you getting divorced? And the guy was like, okay, fair enough. Yes, good point. I'm not, but I see where you're going. He said, you can't just, you've made a good point, but it's redundant, because the point of marriage then was to do something in a world that was hostile, that, you know, that needed those protections, that it needed that social shift. It doesn't need that now.
No.
It's now a redundant social aspect.
Marriage now is just, it's a sacred promise between two people.
It's a promise between two people, two consenting people.
Exactly.
That's what it is. And when the promise breaks, or when the agreement no longer serves, it should be straightforward enough to go, we've made this promise to protect each other, you know, and we've made a legal binding contract, a government contract, to secure that. But this now no longer serves, so we're going to break that contract so that we're free to then, you know, move on and move away from it.
Yeah.
So I think the idea of the sacrament of marriage is just very much that. It's just an idea. And ideas changed and shouldn't change, and they should be fluid where other things are fluid.
Absolutely. So I've been doing lots of kind of digging into and looking at trying to find kind of the nuggets of the old church.
Nuggets!
Nuggets.
Aged nuggets.
Yes. Quite. So that's what 2023 was for me, really. It was doing that. Deep diving, trying to find as much of the old church as I can and seeing where it applies to the modern day church. And then also listening to what the modern day church is saying and comparing it to what should be and what the old church wanted. I also think, controversial opinion within the church, I actually don't actually like St. Paul. There's a lot of, they do readings of St. Paul. He was called...
Who's St. Paul?
He was called Saul. And he was a Jewish zealot that was renowned for his persecution of Christians. And he went around killing them, murdering them, torturing them, and he...
Oh, yeah, and then he converted, it's the great conversion.
Yeah, Christ appeared to him...
The Great Conjunction!
The Great Conjunction!
Yeah.
And put scales upon his eyes and blinded him and sent him after... I can't remember who he bumped into, St. Peter or St. John or something like that. And he went off and met one of the apostles. And then upon doing that, the scales fell from his eyes and he was a changed person and he changed his name to Paul and then he started preaching. But like you read the letters of him and he's all about, you know, no homosexuality, which is funny because the word didn't exist back then. But know this and know that and don't do this and do this and blah, 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 blah. But the man was a fucking zealot.
Yeah.
He was a zealot beforehand. Just because he changed size doesn't mean he's any less of a zealot. So anything that can come out of his mouth is going to be nothing but hardcore, oppressive.
Yeah.
It's just aggression in a different format. And
I mean, there's a time and a place.
A time and a place, anyway. But I don't think he's a person that should be held up as like an amazing standard of, you know, oh, what he says is amazing. No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
There are many other wonderful people within the church that have said much more kinder, more, not truthful, that's the wrong word, but things that are more in line, yeah, more in line with what Christ's message was, yeah, rather than, you know, definitely, if you don't do this, rah.
Yeah.
So anyway,
because fuck you, that's why.
Yeah, exactly, basically. Yeah. So that's what I've been doing in 2023. How about you, love? What's your 2023 been?
I'm trying to think of like spiritual life versus like, I hate using the term mundane life. But mundane life drama.
Yeah, but darling, thou art so mundane.
Wow. Oh, honey.
Oh, honey.
It's all right. I'll save it up.
dish it out later.
Dish it out later. Cunt! Yeah, it's been good, actually. 2023 for me, I think, has been all about finding a community. And finding people and becoming part of a community. And I think I've done that. But, you know, in finding that community, because being part of ADF could be quite difficult because there's no fucker here.
No, it's only you.
It's literally pretty much... If there's another ADF person listening who lives up the road, like, do get in touch. Because, like, bitch, this shit is hard. So, like, the amount of work I've had sent back from my dedicant path has just been really demotivating. And it's been demotivating.
Sent back as in like you have
as
to
in I
again.
Haven't fulfilled the criteria for the essays. Mm. I've got a good 2/3 of it done. Submitted and accepted and all singing, all dancing, like lots of it's very lovely, blah 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 blah. But there have been times where I've needed a person to talk to because I've read something, then I have submitted it, then they've sent me back with notes. I have not understood the notes, so I've sent it back with I've sent information back going, I don't understand what you want, what you're trying to say here, which then, because it's over there in the States and it's only via email, like it kind of just gets lost for ages, and then like months later I get a response and I'm like, oh right, that's what that is. I haven't thought about it for months and I think, right, well, I'll have another look at it. I've sent it back again. I need to get notes back even longer this time, and I'm just like, I could have just had a conversation with somebody.
But like, this is This is the Dedekind program, right? Well, so this again, is the priestly bit.
Again, my argument for the my argument against this is, how much do you fucking want? Do you want my UPG or do you want a university level assessment piece?
Yeah.
If you want a university level assessment piece, you need to give me more content to work from, because so far I have had no support, really. And I'm not expecting support. Like, I couldn't give a fuck. But it is when it gets to a point where it's just monotonous sending back and it feels a bit like nitpicking.
Mm-hmm.
So I've sent one piece back, and then another piece was explained that, you know, parts of it sound like one essay and parts of it sound like another essay. And I'm just like, well, what's the difference? And they're like, well, you're meant to do one. The ones I'm getting confused on are the eight Sabbaths. You have to do two lots. So you have to do one selection of write-ups for what the eight Sabbaths are, historically.
Okay.
I say historically, like they've been around forever, which they fucking haven't.
No.
but historical reasons as to why they're appropriate for where they are. Because regardless of whether they've only existed a little while, they are on. They are.
We could argue that historically, yes, those.
Ooh. My phone.
We could argue historically, yes, those celebrations have existed for a long time, but never together in that format.
Yes, exactly. And
different
that's,
cultures.
That's the thing. So I need to put something together that relates to my chosen, which again is difficult. My chosen practice.
Okay, so you need to do a write-up on the Wheel of the Year as it sits now that everybody kind of knows and recognises, and then work your own individual.
No.
Okay.
So I have to do that one, which is like a historic, which is like an observation of what they are.
Okay.
A little bit of context of what I do.
Can't you just send an image and then the word appropriated over the top?
I would love to. I would love to.
This is what they are. Appropriated.
Yeah, and it's just an issue because I have an issue with the word Mabon. Yeah. Obviously.
Lunasa.
Yeah. Why would I do that? There's loads of things that are problematic for me. What I don't want to do is make it essays where I just literally fleece it. You know, and like Ostara. Like,
yeah.
There's so many issues. So I can't come at this as a really positive piece.
Oh,
I need to find somewhere to come at it to just go, this is what I see when I look at the Wheel of the Year.
You should just shit all over it.
Well, that's 100%. The thing.
You should just
because
do that.
Then the next one is to do the Eightfold Wheel of the Year as what I've actually done.
Why does it have to be eight?
Well, because they're the eight holy days of ADF. So we get it.
Okay.
For the purpose of the Dedicant program, I need to be able to evidence that I know what they are and I know what they're talking about, because the community works with all those eight.
Okay.
Right? Whether I do them in my solitary practice is another matter. But the email I sent back was like, this is incredibly difficult. I apologise. Like, this has been incredibly difficult because I'm doing this on my own. I've got no context, because if I do a ritual, it's not really ADF because there's no one else here who does ADF.
Yeah.
No one gets it. And I feel like I'm just flummoxing through it. So anyway, so that's been hard. So I've kind of, finding my community has been great. But the problem with that this year is I haven't got a working group. We had this conversation a couple of months back, wasn't it?
Mm.
Where I don't have a working group of people to practice with. I have a community group of pagans to join in with. But it's not my practice.
Yeah.
You know, it's not Druidry. It's paganism. You know, it's very broad. Well, I have no issue with that. But it does leave me wanting every time, which is a shame, because they're beautiful rituals. They're wonderful things. They're really good fun. I have a really great time. I get a lot from it, but you know, I came back from a recent one. I came back from the Yule one, and I made a real point of getting rid of my robes. So all of my robes are now gone. They went in the bin. Because they're a symbol and they represent to me this whole hodgepodge mishmash of things that just don't work.
Mm.
They don't work together. They don't help me. They don't give me what I need. And I kind of just looked at them and I thought, these just represent all of that for me at the minute. And I thought, right, I'm going to take the bits from them that I need, that I really like, that represent something to me. And effectively, I came away with a couple of tassels and some clasps and a bit of fur, fake fur, but a bit of fur. And that was it. And I thought, right, good. That's it. Brilliant. So it's been a really good journey of finding people that I can be, you know, with. But it's also been a case of, there's gaps here. So, you know, and that's just ADF. That doesn't include other things. Like, there's very few people besides yourself who I can have quite, and possibly Ben. Daddy Ben.
I'm having a conversation. I'm calling him tomorrow. We're having a phone conversation.
Oh, are you? Oh, I loved catching up with Ben. I spoke to him a little while ago and I was absolutely pissed. I stayed up till about 1 a.m. Of course, which is only like, I don't know, 6 p.m. for him. Mm. And I was just like, I really need to go to bed. I was like, all I've done is sat here and drink red wine and chat with you. And he was just like, oh yeah, but it's been so nice. I was like, yeah. Anyway, but yeah, besides yourself, Daddy Ben and a couple of other people, my mate Heather being one, Heather, who I can have a really good hash out conversation with.
Yeah.
Because it helps me process. Because anybody else, it's just, I get stuck. Or some of my other friends will go, what the fuck are you talking about? And I'm like, okay, never mind. Don't worry about it.
I have the same thing. I pretty much, it's just you I have.
Mm.
Like Liz, actually, no, that's not fair on Liz. I can talk to Liz about this kind of stuff as well.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, I can talk to Liz as well. Liz gets it. Liz is another friend I can talk to.
She gets it.
Sorry, Liz. You're not an afterthought. Honestly, you're not.
Whoever you are.
Whoever the fuck you are.
But yeah, it's only really you two. Oh, actually, and as well, I can, as I've discovered, I can go into detail with stuff with the lovely Father Daniel.
Yeah, see, now I used to chat to the Archdruid of ADF, but our communications just got a little bit like haphazard and disjointed, and we've just not connected so much. So I think that's just kind of run its course.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to chase it. I'd happily catch up with him any day, but I've just not chased it.
And this is a little shout out to their podcast as well. Have you considered maybe reaching out to the people who do Druids and Cars?
I have.
Because it might be worth just sending them a little message.
But again, the issue is, like, one of the things that was said in this email was, so you've got the first set of eight essays, which are just, this is what it is. And then you've got to do 8 more, which is, this is what I did.
Okay.
Right? And 4 of those have to be in the style of ADF. So you can do 8, and 4 of them can be whatever pagan practice you like, but 4 of them have to be ADF from start to finish. And evidence that you can do the entire core order of ritual. No problem with that. And in the email they said, there are lots of groves that do this online. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, and they broadcast it online, which is amazing. I'd happily do that. The Obod ones are good. They do theirs. The difference between the ones in Obod, for example, and the ones in ADF is the ones in ADF are done in US time. So they're 2-3 o'clock in the morning on a Wednesday.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
I'm like, never going to happen.
Yeah, I have to get up in 3 hours.
All of your meetings are either when I'm at work or when I'm in bed. So, like, they're either first thing in the morning, which is about 2 o'clock in the afternoon for me.
Yeah.
Or they're
3 o'clock in the morning.
3 o'clock in the morning because they're 6 o'clock in the evening. And it's just like, it just doesn't work.
No.
So I can't lean on the community, where I could probably, if I had the community to lean into, would have finished all of this writing months and months and months ago.
Because the only way really forward, I mean, what you're highlighting is that there is a lack of ADF over here. And I mean, there are people over here that are ADF.
Yeah, there's a handful.
But there's about nothing. 20. Yeah, there's. I mean, that's not a great number, is it?
No. So we're a population of so many millions.
Is there a UK ADF?
No, Facebook? There isn't. No.
See, that would have been great.
That would have been great.
It seems like the only way forward is to make your own.
And I don't want to do that.
No, because that's...
I don't want to be that person again.
Added responsibility.
I do not want
to
be
that
person again.
And as well, like, to make a community like that, it puts you at the head of the community, and you're not a priest. You're not a leader. You're doing the training. You're doing the work. So you shouldn't have that role.
Mm.
It's not fair.
No, but that's life. This is one of those unfair things that are not the fault of anybody. These are just an unfair... This is just one of those unfair scenarios that are a result of geography and just... This is where the cookie crumbled this time. And it doesn't mean that in 10 years that won't change. It's just that at the moment, this is the difficulty I'm finding. However, like talking to Daddy Ben, he did say that, you know, where Obod is brilliant... is in A, B, and C, but then some people find it very psychological. Mm. And then what ADF does is picks up where Obod loses it and goes, no, there's no psychology, it's religion.
Yeah.
But is very academic, which then scares other people off. And I'm finding myself in this situation whereby Obod was really good because it delivered me a course and then said, take what you will, do what you want, join the community. And, of course, being part of the community instilled those rituals in me because you had to know them to take part, which is fine. Absolutely fine. ADF, however, I have to evidence. I have to write up. And then if I don't fit their thing perfectly, they send it back. I say, I've got to do it again. And I'm just like, I don't have a support network here to help me figure out, you know...
But I mean, you say
notes on an email aren't enough.
Are you saying it's no one's fault? It's their fault.
Well,
you're paying for this.
Well, yes, I am.
You're paying for this. You're doing the work, but you have no support. That's their failing.
Well,
you can't have
I'm not paying a lot of money.
It doesn't matter though, does it? You're paying for a service.
Yeah.
You can't have a structured system and academia, but then offer your students zero support or help and only offer criticism.
It's...
And then when they reach out to you, have a complete and utter lack of admin support that then takes 2 months to get back to then deliver more disappointing news.
It just has been a little bit difficult.
Yeah, there's no cuddle. There's no hand-holding. There's no, you know, we understand your frustrations and I can see where you're getting confused. This is the issue. If you have any more, here is a link or something that offers loads of FAQs, extra support, extra information. Here are some sources. Here's some extra writing criteria that... gives you an example of what we're looking for, that gives you a framework to work up. There's none of that.
No.
It seems to be just like, Red Cross.
There is, and again, this was a criticism that I had. There is examples. So they do cite examples and they go, check out this example of one. And to their credit, they were like, yeah, check out this example. And it's one of the priest's examples, which is amazing, right? But like... I'm not academic, right? I'm clever. I'm not going to say I'm not intelligent. I am intelligent. I'm very intelligent. I'm very clever. I'll figure shit out. You know, I don't generally miss a trick. However, you ask me to write it down, and I fail miserably, right? To the point of my English grade is a prime example. I was on all of my coursework and all of my written work because I had time to sit and reflect and all the rest of it. I was forecast AA stars and all the rest of it for English. When I went back in college in my 20s and redid it, I was forecast all of this, that and the other. Then you have an exam for 3 hours and I got a B. And I spoke to my tutor, found me afterwards, and she was just like, I'm so sorry. I was like, why? She went, you only got a B. I was like, that's fantastic, considering I failed English at school. I said, that's fantastic. She was like, yeah, but we forecast like A stars. And I was like, it's because of the exam. She's like, what? I said, I can't do exams. Literally cannot do exams. I said, they'd have flagged me up on spelling mistakes, grammatical errors, all the rest of it. I said, because I need to come away, spend some time away from what I've done, go back and look at it again and fix it. I've got a very dyslexic brain. I found out the other day that I only read where most people will read phrases in books. I read one word at a time. In my brain, it is going as slowly as The cat sat on the mat. The mat was... I read that slowly. And it's only since doing that English that I've realised that that is a process I cannot do. Mm. You know, which is why all my work is finished early. Because I start it really, really early. So I've got plenty of time to review it, fix it, review it, fix it, review it, fix it. I can't do that in exam. And what they're expecting from me is that process again.
Yeah.
And then they're sending me back and going, you need to find your mistakes. And I'm like, I can't see my mistakes.
Yeah.
You need to realise that I can't see them because you're asking this person with a very dyslexic brain. I'm not dyslexic. I've never been diagnosed as dyslexic, but I, after researching it because I work in learning and development and I have to be aware of learning barriers, I have a lot of those traits that I cannot see them.
Yeah.
I have to get other people to proofread things.
Yeah.
You know, and the problem is you're telling me to check content. I don't know anybody who can proofread the content.
Yeah.
They can proofread it and tell me if they've got spelling mistakes or words missing, but they can't tell me whether the content is correct or not because they don't know the subject. So I'm stuck. And I can't sit there and read a priest's example because it's 1,000 fucking words.
Yeah.
when the piece I'm writing, you're only asking for 200, you're lucky if you get 201.
Yeah. They need to, I mean, really, they need to, it doesn't sound like it's open to all learning levels.
It's an academic thing, expecting academics to do it, but we're normal people. And what you do then is you limit access to those that have all of the skills and qualities, but none of the academia.
Yeah.
I don't have academic processes. I'm not very good at them. But I know how to, and I know how to, through work, get people to learn things and demonstrate their learning, but I don't expect them to do it in a way that they can't do. Yeah.
That's not fair. That's not fair.
It's not fair,
because
but
it's not
difficult to, I don't know how much they would have to change it to make it work, really. Yeah. Could I send them a video? That would be easier.
It's important that, you know, they make it open to other people, because what if, for example, let's say you have a real good, firm understanding of all of this stuff, of what ADF has to offer, and you've been involved in magic and sorcery and all that lot for years and years and years, and you come around to wanting to do this and you want that qualification, but let's say, for example, you're in a car accident and you damage your spine, so your legs don't work and you've got limited mobility of your hands, you can still do stuff and you can still work and operate and read, but maybe you can't write and maybe you can't type. So maybe the only thing that's open to you is an audible thing. But if you then send them an audio document, they probably won't accept that. They'll want it in written format.
And this is the issue. Like, I can imagine in a situation like that, they would be completely accepting and would bend over backwards to let that person have access. Mm. However, in this situation, I've not turned around and told them, I really struggle with this. And maybe that's where I'm going wrong. Maybe I should.
You need to have an honest conversation with them.
And maybe it's, but then again, like, again, if there was a person if there was the community here, there would be a priest there. There would be a person to speak to, and it'd be, you know,
yeah.
And that's where I'm coming unstuck. So this year has been really good, but there's been a massive frustration in it, absolute massive frustration in it. And things have worked out really well, and things have grown, and things have been really organic. So, like the stuff with Northampton Pagans has been really, really wonderful, really, really good. It's grown and grown and grown, and the community have been really, really wonderful. There's now like a bit of a Wellingborough posse that meet up in Wellingborough, which is quite nice. That was fun at our last get together. And it's just lovely to have these people to talk to. I just have to make sure that I'm doing it for the right reasons.
Mm.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's been good.
That's good.
It's been a good thing. But it's just an exploration. I've got no reason to worry about my question of faith because I don't have a question of faith. I don't have a question of practice because I've got it.
So just going off of what you just said, I do think, and just feeding into another question. So I was going to ask how your practice has changed and grown over the year. Your a question of faith, are those... is, how am I, I'm not phrasing this well. I'm starting sentences and ending them quite quickly. It's, fuck's sake. Well, you may say, you know, you've not had a question of faith, and I thoroughly believe you, and I'm not here to question that. It has gone through some iterations, hasn't it? Like, gods have changed genders and names and things like that.
Oh yeah, gods have changed.
Yeah, over the last.
But gods do change.
But like, you've gone through a few this year. You started.
I think I've come.
You went round the
circle. I think I've come back.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think what I've done is, if we're going to talk about circle of faith, yes, this year that did happen. That. Oh.
Let's go into it. What's that journey been like?
Let's unpack this bag.
Come on.
Do I have to?
Come on. Open your knickers and pull out the gubbins. Let's get into it.
I told you I had that cyst removed.
Like spaghetti.
all the sauce everywhere. Like mayonnaise. That was interesting. That was interesting because I found myself stepping away from Ellen and Hearn at the beginning of the year because life had changed and things had changed at home and dramas had happened and things were difficult.
Yeah.
Really difficult. And I kind of stepped away thinking I really need to figure myself out and figure shit out and figure stuff out.
Sorry, I'm not yawning because you're dull.
No, you're we're used to that now. We're used to you being dull. It doesn't bore us anymore. But I did come back to Ellen and Hearn when, leading up to Mercian, was when that really happened. And it was a case of, you know, because we no longer have the cats. You know, life has massively changed. You know, the cats were a huge part of our life, but they were destroying our home. So there was a bit of a health scare earlier this year, and that was a bit scary. There's been family dramas and all sorts of stuff, and I was just like, ugh! And there was a bit of a crisis of faith. Somebody was talking about this the other day because the gods just weren't answering. And I don't expect an answer all the time, but when you're desperate, it gets harder to rationalize that whole, I'm not hearing from them, and now I need them and I'm still not hearing from them. Is there a problem? Yeah. So I stepped away. I moved away from it a little bit. And then all of a sudden there was room, almost like there was room for me to hear them. And that's where the problem is sometimes, that there's so much drama that you focus so heavily on the drama that's going on, pleading with the gods to hear what's going on, that you're so involved in all that noise that you can't hear them, and they've probably been answering you the whole fucking time, but you're so self-involved, rightly so, so self-involved that you can't see the wood for the trees.
Yeah.
You know, it's that bloke, isn't it? There's floods and he's on the roof of his house and he prays and 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 he prays to God to save him, and a guy in a boat comes along and goes, are you all right there? Do you need help? And the guy goes, no, it's all right. I'm praying for God to help me. And he goes, all right, fair enough. And he floats away. And he prays and 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 prays. And then a helicopter comes along, lowers a ladder down. Somebody climbs down it and goes, can I help you? Are you all right? Is everything okay? Do you need help? And he goes, no, I'm praying. God will help me. He prays and prays and prays and prays and prays and prays. And they fuck off and they pray and prays and prays and prays and prays and prays and prays. And he drowns. And he goes up to heaven and he goes, God, why didn't you help me? And he's like, I sent you a fucking boat and a fucking helicopter. What more do you fucking want? And it's that point of, like, he was so involved in the drama and noise of it all that he didn't see the solutions when they were fucking presented.
Mm.
So it wasn't until we went to Mercian.
God doesn't have a potty mouth, darling.
I beg your pardon?
God doesn't have a potty mouth.
Did God create everything?
Yes.
Including fuck you.
No.
Did you hear that? That was the devil. The devil just came out of my mouth.
God doesn't have a potty mouth.
Yes, well, I spoke to God and he called you a cunt, so.
Well, yes. That's true.
That's because they're useful.
That's true.
And yeah, going to Mercy and Gathering.
They're useful.
And so are you. See? See how I said that?
Cunt.
Yeah, I called you useful. Stop twiddling with your horns.
They're meant to be filled. You're saying I'm meant to be filled.
Filled?
Filled. That's what filled. You do with a cunt, isn't it? You fill it.
I don't know. I'm not familiar.
You fill them with jizz.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
That's what lady bits are for.
I've never seen one.
No,
I mean, that's a lie. Because I worked in non-folks home, but we won't go there.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh!
It's when it hangs down like sleeve of wizard.
No!
Poor Mavis.
Oh.
Oh, dear. What's that, dear?
Oh, just my clitoris.
Just the drapes.
Oh, dear. Anyway, yeah, went to Mercy in Gathering, yes. And Ellen was there, and Hearn was there, and all these other things were there, and all of a sudden it was as if...
Because they had the Temple of Ellen tent.
Yeah, and I'd recently, only just recently, reinstated, and I didn't know that was going to be there, and I'd reinstated my shrine in the living room.
Also, I can't help twiddle with my twiddly
bits. That's fine, you twiddle with your
twiddly
bits.
I've always done it, it's fine. A habit.
Darling, it's gorgeous, it's cute, and it's ever so endearing.
Part of the reason why... My hair was gone for so long in the hopes that I would get rid of my bad habit. I shaved my head, didn't I, for years?
Yeah, I know you did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now I have hair and my habits returned. I've done it since I was a babe.
Who cares about your habits? Have habits. They're habits of character building.
Exactly. At least it's my head hair and not my pubic hair.
Well, you know, whatever you do with that, I have no idea.
Braids.
So yeah, so then went to Mercy and Gathering, and that was kind of that. It all kind of came full circle, and it was just the answers kept coming, and I was just like, oh, okay, and I realised the problem wasn't that they weren't talking; it's that I wasn't listening.
Okay,
and it wasn't a crisis of faith. It was lots of other crises that just obscured my faith from me,
yeah.
which can be really difficult to acknowledge in the moment. And I didn't acknowledge it in the moment. I carried on practicing, but felt like I was just doing that bit where I'm just saying words.
Mm.
But that's the point. The words hold power anyway.
Yeah.
So just saying the words, sometimes it's enough. And that you shouldn't have to do a lot more than that. Because if you're just doing that, that's still something,
yeah.
Which compared to nothing is a huge step. So... It was really, really enforcing and really, really helped me when we went to Mercy and Gathering and we saw the Temple of Ellen. And the green man with his massive wooden cock. That was great.
Massive wooden cock.
Massive wooden cock. And we got to talk to all those people and, you know, and then talk about really rude things whilst there was a gong bath going on in the tent, literally 10 yards away from us talking about... in whatever we were talking about.
Marvellous. I think that was I think I was in the field behind you.
Were you having a talk?
Yeah. I want to say his
name. Oh, he was dishy.
Jonathan Walker.
That was the guy from the tent behind us that we both went, oh, hello.
Yes.
He was cute.
That's his name.
Let I have no idea what his name
is. I know what his name is.
Do you?
Yes.
It's Jonathan Walker.
It is Jonathan Walker.
There we go.
Let me just double check.
But what did he do a talk on? What did you go and see?
Rewilding.
Rewilding? Rewilding what?
Nope, that's Jognathan.
Is that like not cutting your pubes? Rewilding?
Jonathan Weeks.
Oh, Jonathan Weeks.
Jonathan Weeks.
Marvellous. Oh, he's lovely. Oh, yes! Yeah, he's lovely. I like him.
Very sexy.
And
very
he's not delicious. Got glasses in that picture, and he looks better with glasses.
Oh, he was beautiful.
He was beautiful. There were lots of beautiful people there, actually.
There were. Yeah, he talked about rewilding, spiritual rewilding. So it was about...
Not trimming your pubes.
Not trimming your pubes, no. It was about taking a look at... Because you've got this whole kind of rewilding... kind of conversation going on, which is about, you know, how do we take these spaces that we have conformed and controlled and return them to the wild to benefit nature and to save the bees. Save the bees. etc.
Save the bees.
Save the bees.
Tuppence a bag. Sorry.
My bag's worth more than tuppence, darling. Oh.
Full of mayo.
Oh.
A bag of mayo.
See, my brain just imagined.
Do we want brown... to know? Do we want to know?
A brown do paper we want bag to know? Full of mayo, and then someone going.
Thing is, it's greasy, so it would like seep.
It would.
Seepage.
Seepage.
It's a great word.
Can we stop talking about my gubbins?
Seepage, moist, and gusset. Great words. And if you combine them in a sentence, you can make people get...
You basically describe you.
No, I'm the soppy, sopping pussy gusset.
Yes.
Yes.
Anyway, rewilding. So...
with mayonnaise.
Rewilding. So, spiritual rewilding, the conversation was about how can we start walking around our environment, looking at the environment, but seeing it on a... It was animism, basically. So
oh,
it was
yeah.
Just a conversation on animism.
Lovely.
But also showing those spirits our respect. So, cleaning up rivers and doing all this. It's not just about enhancing and improving our wild habitats. It's also about returning proper respect to the spirits of the land, which is fine. I am not an animist in that way. We talked about this in the previous episode. Yes, I see like giants and things like that and other spirits in the wild.
I love how you like, I see giants and that whilst you're gazing out the window.
Yeah,
going, oh, there's one. Right now. Just walking down the street. Boom, boom, boom.
Hello, I rebuke her.
Yeah.
It's just what I do on the weekends, darling. I turn giants to stone.
That's it.
Pillars of salt.
What's all these pillars of salt outside your house?
Well. It's okay. People that displease me.
They disappear in the rain.
Like Lot's wife. It was all right. I took, and then we did like a journey of, you know, lay down and hear the sounds around you and what could that be and what spirit is it? And, you know, it was lovely. Some of the other people got more out of it than I did. It was a great talk. Love you, Jonathan. Gorgeous. But it was what it was. But that was going on while you were talking about vaginas and the spirit of Helen.
Oh, yeah, Ellen's massive cock.
And Sheila na Gig and all that.
And Sheila na Gig, the Sheila na Gig drum.
The cave vagina.
Oh, that was the best. Do you know what? And every single woman I show that to looks at me and goes, why?
Yeah, it's horrendous.
And like the most feminist to the most non-feminist, every single woman I show that to just goes,
yeah.
Why on earth?
Well, are you meant to go into it? What comes out of it?
We don't have this conversation because we are too gay for it. Much too gay for
it. Is it full of moss and fungi?
The last time we talked about anything around this, we got to a paper bag full of mayo. So let's just stop.
Okay. Okay.
Because it just goes bad.
It does. Okay, so that's interesting. Your faith.
Oh, thanks.
Yes.
That's
so interesting.
Not a veiled, that's not a veiled insult at all.
So interesting, yes. Well, that's what we're talking about. Your faith and your round trip.
Yes,
of...
my round trip of gods.
Yes. Yeah.
Which,
and
yeah,
how
which
pointless the whole journey was, because you started at one end and then you ended at the same spot.
It wasn't pointless because I learned a lot. I learned
how to repeat.
I learned how to. All right, calm down, dear. Fucking hell.
An endless cycle of disappointment.
And you've already admitted that sooner or later you're going to be a warlock.
I did.
So yes,
I
let's
did.
Talk about let's sooner talk about later. These journeys of faith.
I do.
Let's talk about these
shall
journeys of faith.
Shall commit great apostasy.
You shall have a full circle. So don't you take the piss out of me until you've done yours.
talking about crisis of faith and things like that, I too have had one of those recently. I wouldn't say it's a crisis of faith, but it has been a, how can I describe it? Spiritual disappointment, I suppose.
Spiritual disappointment. Mm. I like that. Maybe we should do that next.
We can.
Yes.
You were a prime example of spiritual disappointment.
Joy.
Just look at you.
Oh, wow. Thank you. I'm sure my mother would agree.
What is spiritual disappointment? Picture of Clinton.
You absolute cunt.
Thank you. And this isn't a laughing matter. Solemn. Okay.
I really want to get like a gong or something. Yeah. I love that. That every time you hit it, rather than it going bong, it just goes solemn. The solemn gong. so cool.
However, true, because a friend of mine died.
Sorry.
No, I don't care. Well, I do, but like, I don't mind. It's important to smile at these things. So, a friend of mine died recently, and I did. I told you about this, didn't I?
Yep.
Yep. So he went. He went away on holiday with his partner for Christmas, and then on the way home, he developed. I don't really know, internal bleeding. It could be hemorrhaging in the brain or whatever. And then he collapsed at an airport and then ended up in a coma. So I started praying the rosary and dedicating a rosary to him. And I did this for 2 days and he started to improve. And then I thought, and stupidly, I used, because in the Bible, there is, every time Jesus heals someone, he always says the same thing. Your faith has healed you. Well, my friend has no faith. He doesn't believe in God or any of that. So what I was praying was use my faith, as a measure, if you need such a thing, as a measure of devotion to heal him. So I did that for 2 days, and he became stable, and things were looking up. And then I thought, well, I've done it twice. I've said a load of prayers. There's been some results. I've put forward my case. I didn't want to make it so that, you know, or I have to pray for him in order for him to be healed. I've said what I've said. I have faith in the Lord. Did that, and then he died. Ah. I stopped, and then he died. So I kind of came away from that with a lot of questions of, did he die because I stopped? Did he die because it was his time? Did he just die because they were going to basically put him on dialysis and he was in a coma? They said it was a tricky surgery and it was risky, but it was like the only, it was either they do it and maybe he lives or they don't.
And he definitely dies.
And he dies. Yeah. So there was a lot coming away from that. And I kind of sat there and for a little bit, I was like, well, was I just not listened to? Did he die because I stopped? You know, there were lots of things. And in the end, I just came, at some point you just have to step away from it and say, it's beyond me. And I have faith that there was a reason for it.
Mm.
And the whole point, I suppose, you can. I think a lot of Christians get Christianity wrong. There's this whole, why is this happening to me? Why did this happen to them? Why do we have to die? Blah, 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 blah. Our religion at its core is necrosophic. It's about death. It's about, we are a death cult.
That's the word for the day. Necrosophic.
Yes. Well, yeah, we are. We revere the dead. We exalt the dead. Saints.
Jesus.
Well, he didn't. Well, he did.
He did die, yeah. Then he came back.
Yes.
So it's the next obsession.
We are a necrosophic cult. We're a death cult. And I'm killing him right now.
Sorry. And yeah, in 3 days, I will rise again.
Oh, will you? Yes. What did you just wipe away from your mouth? What did you cough up?
Just a bit of spittle.
Yeah, was it?
A little bit.
Okay. So we are, at its core, we're a death cult. We're a cult that reveres death and bones and all that, because the aim is to, it's not about this life, it's about the next life. So at some point you have to just step away from it and just trust that, you know, life is finite, and you have to surrender to the entropy of existence.
Yeah. That's the difference though, isn't it? Like, yours is death-affirming. Paganism, generally speaking, is life-affirming.
So I, it raised a lot of questions. One, I punished myself, not for long, a couple of days, over the fact that I stopped and then he died. And then I came to the conclusion that was stupid.
Because yes.
It's just stupid. We could argue that maybe my prayers had some impact, but ultimately if he was going to die, he was going to die.
Yes.
You know? And I just, it's that whole thing, faith and trust. So I had to kind of yield. So that was a spiritual disappointment. To say I was disappointed in God, that was a thing that did happen. I was very disappointed in the Almighty for a brief moment. And then I came to realise, actually, it's above my pay grade. So why worry about it?
Yeah, I often refer back to Buddhist teachings, right? There's a really good video of the Dalai Lama being asked a question about anxiety and mental health. It's a really lovely interview because he goes, that's all very selfish. And I fucking love it. Because he goes, you're anxious about this thing that hasn't happened and how it's going to affect you. You're anxious about this thing that hasn't happened and it might not affect you. And you're anxious about this thing that hasn't happened and hasn't affected you yet. He said, all you're thinking about is, will it affect me? How will it affect me? What's it going to do to me? What's going to happen to me? Ba, 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 me, 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 me. And he goes, that's very selfish. Yes, very selfish.
Why are you doing his accent?
Because I can't help but do it. I can't help it. But effectively, he's made a really good point. He's like, you're only anxious because you're thinking about how everything is going to affect you.
Yeah.
Stop it. Just stop being so fucking self-centered. So fucking selfish. Going, woe is me, about shit, about anything, about everything. Like, he said, you will stop feeling anxious if you plan to help the people who are actually affected.
Mm.
He said, your anxiety will go away. Because rather than having anxiety, and I'm not talking about chronic anxiety, which is caused by like brain chemistry levels, you know, like cortisol levels and it's shit like
kennel
that.
Kennel cough, you've spread it to me.
I'm really sorry. You know, like what?
Kennel cough.
You fucking dog.
you bitch.
You bitch. I'm not talking about that because the way you get rid of that is that, you know, you burn it off through doing exercise and things like that. And there's all sorts of other ways of getting that treated. But like the whole mental health aspect of anxiety can be can literally just be a point of view fueled problem that all you're thinking about is how it affects you.
Yeah.
And he said, you might actually find that a lot of your anxiety goes away when you stop.
Yeah. Self-obsession.
Stop being so obsessed with things affecting you and actually just look at things happening subjectively.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, a million things, and a billion things, a trillion things happen in the world every minute that you never even fucking hear about, that are probably a million times worse, and they do not affect you. So does hearing about them make them affect you? No.
Mm. It's very true.
It doesn't. Is you subjecting yourself to the story the thing that has affected you? Then you shouldn't have read it. Well, you shouldn't. It's not the thing. The thing is not affecting you. It's the reading of the news article. It's the hearing of the words. It's the that's what's affecting you. Yeah. It's the getting yourself too involved in a story that you're not a fucking character in, which that is really self-obsessed.
Yeah.
And the Dalai Lama went, it's nothing to do with you. It's not your fucking problem. It's not your issue. So stop it.
Yeah. Oh,
stop being anxious. And it's almost the same there. That you had that instance because your perception was me stopping, I didn't,
yeah.
God for me, 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 I, me, 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 me. And that's where it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
Rather than it being faith and trust, which is what you've just ended with. But you came round into that.
Yeah.
It just took time, you know?
Yeah.
But I think about that all the time. I think about it definitely within pagan circles because there's so limited, there's such a limited pool of information of scripture or of teaching that is about helping others. A lot of it is very self-affirming and a lot of it is very self-sovereignty and stuff like that, which I don't have a problem with at all. But there's very few things that then stretch that to say that the way you get self-sovereignty is by helping others or by affirming other people or through kindness. A lot of it is about taking power and holding it rather than taking it and using it.
Yeah.
Because the only way power gets more powerful is by using it well and using it properly.
I think that's where both sides of the coin, they have their own failings, don't they? Because, I mean, and we hit the nail on the head, I think, when you said that paganism is more life focused, whereas Christianity is death focused.
Yeah.
Because Christians view it as everything we do in this life, we're preparing to go to heaven afterwards. So it's about preparation of death
to enter into that next phase of mm-hmm. serving God in the kingdom of heaven. So ours is about death preparation, which is why we do our best to try and convert as many people as we can, because we want as many people to join us. and we do, quote unquote, good deeds. Some people don't do good deeds. They do deeds they think are good, but quite
selfish deeds.
Yes.
all comes back to that.
I think it can get a bit obsessive, and I think it can get a bit oppressive. This whole kind of, I'm saving your soul, whether you want it or not.
It's a bit much.
Yeah, it's a bit much. You know, calm down, Karen. No one asked you to. No one wanted it. Be the example, and I think it should be there and offered to people who want it, but not forced down their throat. And that's, I think, where a lot of Christians get it wrong. We are, I think, anyone who sits there and says, I'm very accepting of all religions and spiritual practices. but then we'll turn around and be like, but I hate it when Christians shove it down my throat.
Oh, fuck off.
Then you're not as bigoted. Then you're not accepting of other religions and practices. Because if you're going to accept people for being Christian, you have to respect and understand that we're charged with spreading the word.
Yeah. There are so many pagans that are like, I am not a bigot. I am really inclusive unless you're Christian.
Yeah. But yeah, so if you're gonna say you're accepting of people and Christians, whatever, and you don't care, but you hate it when they shove it down your throat, you have to understand we're charged with spreading the word. There's a way to spread the word.
Good, I'm glad you said that.
Yes, I will agree that a lot of Christians get it wrong. However, you can't judge them for doing what they're spiritually obligated to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Doesn't mean you need to agree with the
method. You don't have to like it, you don't have to agree with it, and you can challenge them on their method, maybe, but...
Whereas what you just said about pagans, I think, because pagan is it's about life, isn't it? And it's about accumulating power. So there's this whole, like, how can I
be
the most powerful thing during the life? We prepare for our death and the power that waits for us beyond death. You spend your life accumulating power.
Yes, but there's also this underlying thread that life doesn't ever end.
Yeah.
So it's not massively... it's not massively different to the Christian idea of heaven, that you're preparing for the end. However, the idea is not that any deeds now prepare you for that next journey. It's that you are already on the journey that is never going to end. So you should continue to, you know, you should continue on this journey with the right steps forward at every point of the journey, rather than think that this is going to get you somewhere different. It's not. Mm. It's not going to get you anywhere different. You're always going to be on this path. It's just which bit of the path do you want to walk on? Do you want to walk on the difficult bit, which is where, you know, you grab power for the sake of power, and then all of a sudden the rug is pulled from under your feet, which we have been viewing with a certain individual.
Mm. Delicious.
So do you do it that way, or do you do it the other way, which is not high power, but it is accumulative, it is consistent, and it is regenerative and all the rest of it. And do you do that one, which is not always great, but you're not going to have the world pull the rug from under your feet. You're not going to have massive collapse. You're going to be more resilient. You're going to be more inner powerful, you know, and there's that thing, and it never stops, and you'll be in the other world having the same journey for the same reason, you know. And I think for some people that's quite frightening, like you're stuck on a wheel, like a hamster, never getting off.
Within a spiral, a wheel within a wheel, never ending, ever spinning like a never spinning wheel. I can't remember the words of the song.
That was brilliant.
Thank you. It's a good song.
It is a good song. But
like the windmills of your mind.
All right, dear. Calm down.
Okay. Here's a scary thought.
But yeah, no, it is what it is.
Eventually, I will be a saint, advising and praying to people, well, for people. That's a terrible thought. Me as a saint. I'll be leading people into danger every step of the way. Yes, drive the car without a seatbelt.
What's he the saint of?
God,
the
saint of you.
Trials and unfortunate circumstances.
Yeah.
But why do you pray for him? Why do you pray for him to intercede on your behalf? Because he'll only send you a trial that you can deal with.
Yeah.
And you're just like, let's see, this will fuck him up.
I pray for strength.
And God sent me Lyndon.
Yeah. God give me strength. Here's an opportunity to have strength. You're going to learn it quick.
Absolutely.
Because he's going to sap it from you.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, that concludes our episode, I think.
A year in review, kind of.
We kind of reviewed it. We did, really, because we've kind of talked about what's happened in 2023, how we've gone, like, how our journey has changed us to now, what we've been through.
Horrifying. Terrible. Shit. Unchangeable.
I mean, Rishi Sunak.
Gross.
It's just all that shit. Anyway, yeah, so that's happened, and the Tories, so yay. But yeah, we've had good faith journeys and spiritual journeys. I think there's definitely been changes.
Yeah,
definitely.
We're still here.
We're
still friends.
Well, yeah,
we like each other.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Well,
we tolerate each other.
I think it's past that now.
I think it's evolved into just mutual dislike.
Passionate dislike.
Yeah, yeah.
Which we can't do with other people, so we have to meet.
Yeah.
To get it out of
our
system.
We're so vile, the only people we can tolerate are each other.
Yeah.
It's like the film Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf.
I can't do any of... Like, I can't be like this with anybody else. They would either cry... Actually, they're likely to just cry.
No way.
Or they're going to hit me.
Yeah.
In which case, I'd hit them back. Like, it would never be good.
Oh.
It would never be good.
Yeah.
And no one else can keep up. I get really cunty with you throw it back and I'm like, oh, this is fun. Everybody has that special friend.
Quite.
Definitely. God forbid anybody picked a fight with us both. Oh, that'd be great. Can we do that?
If you want.
We need somebody to pick a fight.
Okay. I'm better typing than I am speaking.
Oh, that's fine. Just hold my glass.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah? Yeah. You hold my glass.
I mean, don't count
and
me.
And cheer staying. Me on.
I'll walk off.
Just cheer me on. Okay. Just cheer me on from the distance. You've got it!
Yay, Clinton.
Yay!
Yay!
It's him with the chair! That sort of thing. Anyway, we're running out of time, so bye! You can find us everywhere. Just look for us. It's fine. We're on all the podcast provider things.
Love you, bye.
Love you, bye.